from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shayla shut it. What do you say? Love it? Legal? I was just about to do it. We know the buffer.
I can't believe you got Luke Combs.
Yeah, I can't believe that either. Only because George Kittle and Brock Purdy were crushing beer, or George Kittle was crushing beers. Speaking of George Kittle, who sat down with Tim Kawakami, discussing everything. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
You're listening to 95.70 Game, KGMZ, FM and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Since we're on the discussion of AI, let me sit this article about Tobago, who won the 200 meters dash over Noah Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah Lyles finished in third. And I thought this quote was fake. Do you have the quote, Spinotti? Do you have the sound? You don't have the sound? Anyway, I did not think the quote was real. It's on my board? Okay. All right. Here's the sound. And I thought this was AI created. I was like, there's no way this is real. Here's Tobago after winning the 200 meter dash over Noah Lyles.
For me, I can't be the face of athletics because I'm not an arrogant or a loud person like Noah. So I believe Noah is the face of athletics.
Wow. I'm playing again because I thought it was AI created. Now, he's from Botswana. I know. I watched the race live. Track and field. It was great. Love it. Which let me play it one more time.
For me, I can't be the face of athletics because I'm not an arrogant or a loud person like Noah. So I believe Noah is the face of athletics.
An arrogant or loud peasant.
Oh, my God.
I thought he said person.
Was it person or peasant? It sounded like I didn't know what it was. I saw it yesterday, and I was like, there's no way this is real. So I'm not even going to send it to the thread. And I was looking for the real take, and then I got caught up in something. We'll play it one more time.
Before you play it, I am always very sensitive to an individual speaking in not their number one language, and understanding that maybe that they say something or it comes off a certain way that it wasn't meant to be said that way.
You said person then.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm hearing it. Again, you play it again.
For me, I can't be the face of athletics because I'm not an arrogant or a loud person like Noah.
Loud person.
So I believe Noah is the face of athletics.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, look, Noah talks a lot of trash.
He does.
He's a little arrogant. He's confident. He's also got a great story, asthma and anxiety issues and all that stuff. And apparently he raced with COVID. Who knows? He was gassed at the end of that race. So, you know, Lubman said, like, hey, is it, what was the question Lubman said? He said, do you have to be arrogant and allowed to be the face of a team or a sport or whatnot? I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
I think that, you know, we Warrior fans do not view Steph Curry as loud and arrogant. and he is a mega superstar, right? But I do believe there are some people in this, you know, world that think he is extremely arrogant, where he shoots a shot and is turning around to the bench before the ball's even gone through the hoop. And both can be true. He's very humble, and but sometimes the way he plays, the fashion in which he plays with, can come off kind of in your face, even though that's not who he is, if that makes sense.
When the Warriors lost 3-1 to the Cavaliers in 2016, I remember being in that locker room and talking to other writers, and all these writers from all over the country thought Steph was very, very, very arrogant.
Really?
Very arrogant. And that's just because, you know, he had to dance and he was doing a seawalk. And people were like, boy, if he was playing in the 90s, he would have got a back screen to the back and he would have got crushed. So there's people nationally who did believe that Steph is a bit arrogant and he's big head bouncing and he's doing all that stuff. But, you know, he's a humble, we know what it is. He's having fun. He's an entertainer. He understands the entertainment aspect of everything. So
who's the most humble superstar in any sport right now?
I don't know.
Cause I got when I watch Brock Purdy
is Mahomes humble?
No, he's pretty in your face. But I love
Jokic.
Jokic is actually a great one. Because like I was watching Brock Purdy. You know, I told you I rewatched the 8th episode because I wanted to get ready for the Niners game this weekend. I watched Brock Purdy talking in the Super Bowl and NFC Championship game losses on the receiver doc, and boy, he just. He's so mature and so down to earth and so chill and not in your face. And I mean, he's an alpha in a non-alpha way, if that makes sense.
No doubt. So look, in track and field, it's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. You got to you're your own business. Track athletes have been talking for years. This is what they do.
Yeah.
This is what makes the races exciting. Carl Lewis, Donovan Bailey.
Flo Jo.
I mean, that's part of track. So I'm not mad at Noah Lyles. Obviously, sad person. I didn't understand Tobago. So anyway, he. By the way, he's only 21 years old. He just lost his mom. He ran one hell of a race. It wasn't even close. He wasn't close. It never looked like it. I get it. Noah Lyles had the fact that he had COVID and he came in third place. Now, some people could say he's irresponsible for racing with COVID, but you're in the Olympic Games. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's a tough call.
I mean, I'm not going to be triggered by COVID stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not.
All right. Shameless shout outs coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout outs, 888-957-9570. We'll explain that on the other side. Jake Hutchinson, 8 o'clock. Travis Ishikawa, 9:20. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? That's all coming up, brought to you by Save Martin, Lucky California.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, download the free Odyssey app and listen to 95.7 The Game wherever you go. Catch all the live games on the app along with all the music and news the Bay Area needs. And catch amazing interviews you missed too, like when TJ Houshmandzadeh joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday about Brendan Ayuk, and that's where we're going to get into. But by the way, Joel Corey wrote a great article at Steiny. I thought made a great point yesterday. Trent Williams' boy is ducking the heat. Trent Williams stuck this franchise for more money a couple years ago, threatening to go to the Kansas City Chiefs to the point where Kyle Shanahan had to call Trent Williams and convince him, hey, come back. We got some money for you, whatever. And he had. Trent Williams was insistent on, hey, I need $10,000 more a year than David Bakhtiari so I can be the highest paid left tackle in football. And coming off of that Super Bowl, well, it was a piss-poor performance by Trent Williams. Let's not sugarcoat it, folks. We're not in the sugarcoating business right now. That guy had the false start, the holding penalty. I mean, he had a terrible game, in my opinion, with Trent Williams. He's a Hall of Famer. He had a bad Super Bowl. And so now you're going to come to OTAs, and you're going to stay your ass in East Texas and stick this organization for more money when you're 36 years old. And it ain't even about the money, but you've threatened to retire. I only got a year. I got a year. And you see the situation. And you're going to stick this team and not show up to training camp? And Ayuk is taking all the bullets for you? This is not. Trent Williams needs to get some heat, man.
So now
that's unacceptable.
Now we're here.
All right.
Now
that's unacceptable.
Here. Because I've been hearing all of these people go, well, he doesn't have any guaranteed money. And I go, well, hold up. We're acting.
Oh, by the way, we got some breaking news.
What?
The head coach of Team USA is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Steve Kerr.
No way. No way. No way.
Shout out Lucas, making it happen.
Steve Kerr joining us live from Paris.
This is Steve Kerr.
Rotations.
Steve Kerr, 9 o'clock, folks.
So now we're here. Trent Williams.
That's pretty cool. Steve Kerr from Paris.
Okay. There's this thing. He doesn't have any guaranteed money. What is he, the four-string backup nickel slot corner? Like, what are we talking about? He doesn't have any guaranteed money. He's going to make $23 million this year. Does anyone, on the real, this whole guaranteed money thing is such a farce, okay, for him. Does anyone not think that even if he came in and, like, had a ruptured Achilles, let's just say, that the Niners wouldn't be like, yeah, you're on the pup, and the second you're healthy, we will reactivate you, and you're going to see, he is going to see every nickel of that $23 million. Is he not?
Yes,
he is. Is he not?
I believe he is.
So I don't want to hear about, well, he doesn't have any guaranteed money. Stop it. Just everyone stop it. He's the left tackle of the 49ers who's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to see every penny this year. This is not about guaranteed money. You know what this is about? More money.
Oh, it's about more money. And he's 36 years old, who's had injury history. When he's healthy, he is one of the best left tackles.
He's great.
But my memory of Trent Williams in the Super Bowl was, damn, Trent, I expected a little more from you in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I expected a little more. Now, I don't know what the PFF grades were.
I don't even care.
I don't even care. I know what I saw with my eyes. And Trent Williams, by his standards, did not have a great Super Bowl.
But what about this?
And then you come out here in OTAs. You're chilling with Nick Bosa at minicamp in OTAs, like everything is all good. And then the little rumor came out. I was like, oh, Trent Williams could be looking for an extension. And we kind of laughed at it and said, come on, Trent. You just got paid. You're taken care of. You made how much money over his corpus? I'm not even trying to pocket watch. I don't even want to go down. I don't even care how much money he's made. The fact is, we got a homegrown guy in Brandon Ayuk that people have turned on, saying, get him out of here. We can find a million Brandon Ayuks, blah, 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 blah. And we know Trent Williams is indispensable. He's indispensable. We know that. But for you to stick it to us, and I don't care if you're a veteran or not, you don't want to practice just till Kyle Shanahan. You don't want to practice. Staying off to the side of the field. Don't practice. I don't care. But you're in East Texas right now, chilling. And we ain't heard nothing from you. And you want to stick us because all of a sudden these linemen got paid? And you're like, well, I'm 36 years old. I still want to be the highest paid lineman. Dog, you just talked about retirement.
I totally
and you
agree.
Want to give me, you want us to give you a big fat extension? A big fat extension and big time money? You're 36 and threatening to retire. Come on, Trent. And Ayuk is taking all the heat. The hell with that. I'm shifting gears to number 71. Where are you at? Where are you at, big Trent?
Oh, I would ask you this. At least when Joe Staley retired, he just left. Right?
This is becoming a disaster.
It really is.
Week one's a month away. But there is something with the vibes. I thought a lot about what you said and what Mayoko said.
Well, Mayoko said
and
it. I thought I was crazy.
Well, no, I didn't think you were crazy. I said there was no fans here.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's no fans. The music hits a little different.
Yeah.
The excitement of having fans and the little kids running around. The mascot, Sourdough Sam. None of that was happening. But when Mayoko says it, who's been at practice every single day?
For 25 years.
And there's all these fans here. There is something with the vibe. It's not a great start to the season for the 49ers. It really isn't. And Brandon, I think it's lingering so hard. And I don't know if you heard TJ Husmanzadeh yesterday.
I saw a lot of the TJ Husmanzadeh stuff.
Boy, here is TJ Husmanzadeh. He joined Willard the Dibs. And he was passionate yesterday. And he brought up Kyle Shanahan. Here's TJ Husmanzadeh, former wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals and Seattle Seahawks.
I just want the 49ers to realize what they have and Kyle Shanahan fix this situation. Like, you can't have – like, it really is disheartening when other teams, plural, are willing to pay you so much more than your own team, but you're still willing to take less to stay with your own team. Figure that out, because y'all did this with DeForest Buckner. Y'all remember that, right? They traded him to the Colts and drafted Javon Kinlaw because he was supposed to be the answer. And I'm probably guessing if DeForest Buckner was still with the Niners these last few years, they may have a Super Bowl. He was that good up front. And so the don't just think you can draft a guy and replace a guy. Like, it's not that easy. And the Niners have been really, really good without Buckner. But they may have a Super Bowl if they had him. So don't let a total of $5, $6 million cost you a Super Bowl.
So that's TJ Hufizada. This one also hit me, too, because Chad Johnson said, well, are you top five, top ten? He's okay, blah, blah, blah. Well, they played the cut for TJ Hufizada, Willard the Dibs, that is. And here's how Hufizada reacted to that.
Let's find out, Dan. If the 49ers saw that way, you'll find out. Everybody's replaceable until they're not, just like they thought DeForest Buckner was replaceable. How'd that work out? Still good. But did Javon Kinlaw replace Buckner? Oh, no. He's not even with the Niners any longer. No, he didn't. They think Pearsall can do it, but do they know? But the NFL is a business where when you draft guys, especially in the first two rounds, first and second round, and they play well, it's a badge of honor to get those dudes a second deal because you're drafting and developing well. That's what the good teams do. You pay your draft pick second contracts because you've done a great job with drafting. Baltimore Ravens are the best at it. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best at it. Very rarely do you see those best players from those teams that I just named sign second deals with other teams. You don't see it. And so the Niners are going to be good with or without B.A. I believe they'll be better with him than they will be without him. Chad may have a point, but he's wrong in a sense the way Shanahan calls plays. Shanahan's a great play caller. You give me the best play call in the world. If I drop the ball, is it the best play call in the world? All right.
I agree with him that they're going to regret if they move off him, period. For this year, there's no other way around it, right? Can they offset the production? Maybe, you know, hypothetically, possibly. But it goes both ways, right? And it's the same thing I would say about Trent Williams. Like, it goes both ways. I would also say, like, Brandon, you be careful what you wish for. You know, I've kind of been saying that for multiple weeks now. Like, there are a lot of wide receivers that are looking at the 49ers situation going, wow, you got a great play caller. You got a pretty good quarterback. You got a really good running game that's going to make my job a hell of a lot easier. You got other weapons out there so I can't get double and triple teamed all day. Like, all things being equal, both parties should be looking at the other one saying, you have a good thing here.
Yeah.
Ayuk saying it to the Niners, and Niners saying it to Ayuk. Right. And that's why I'm so perplexed as to why they can't strike a deal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And he also, he pleaded for Jed York to get involved. He was asked if Ayuk wants to be a Steeler if the money was equal.
I told him this, like, if I got a pick, I'm staying with the Niners. Why wouldn't you? And so it's up to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And hold up. What's the owner's name?
Jed York.
Jed York. You listen to this, Jed York. Make it happen, Jed York. Don't let feelings come into place when it's business. You can't let your feelings get in the middle of business. Get it done. It sucks when another team appreciates your talent more than the team that drafted you. Because, oh, we want you. Well, show me. Why you want me to take less? You're not giving anybody else less. You didn't give any. Who else played on their five contract? Bosa didn't. Debo didn't. Why do I have to? Players look at things like that, and you just want to be fairly compensated. B.A. had 105 targets. I believe CeeDee Lamb led the league in 171 targets, I believe. So he had 66 more targets than B.A. I believe he had 400 yards, a little give or take 400 yards. So out of those 66 targets, B.A.'s probably going to catch at worst 40 of them. He would have led the league in yards. He would have led the league. And so you have a good player that wants to be there, and he's probably done some things along this process that you don't like, as have you. Figure it out, Jed York. You the man that's signing the checks, baby. Get it done.
TJ Hufizada.
I agree on the final part, which is, come on, guys, just get this done. Like, that's what I definitely want to see happen. But also, TJ has to acknowledge that, like, just because the offense in Dallas is set up a certain way doesn't mean that the same thing's going to happen over. Because, like, I could play the same game. Like, no, okay, let's see what Ayuk looks like as the number one in Dallas with no run game, no tight end. Like, maybe his, catch rate goes down. Like, so I don't think they're correlated. You know, saying that, well, CeeDee got 66 more targets. Like, that to me is where you kind of lose me. And I understand what he's saying is he's very efficient and he's really good. And we agree on
75 catches on 105 targets.
No, it's incredible.
Over 1,300 yards.
It's incredible.
Second in the league in yards per catch.
He's a really, really good player.
And so, no, you know, it bothers me, though, when people say, well, he's the fourth option in the offense. How many fourth options led their team in receptions and receiving yards? How many fourth options lead your team in receptions and receiving yards? I think people need to think before they speak. Like, there's no one, two, three, or four. It's who's open on this play? Who's going to beat the blitz on this play? Who's Brock Purdy trust down the field? He trusts Ayuk. That's for sure.
I would counter to you and say, like, you're saying fourth option in the pass game.
He's the number one option.
Well, I would just say
number two option is Kittle. Kittle half the time on pass plays is blocking.
No. What I'm saying is, like, when people say fourth option, like, he's the number one in the pass game option, but Christian McCaffrey's the number one option on this team, 2-1 versus anyone else.
Okay.
Right. So that's all. Is that I don't think he's, you know, who the second option is on the Niners outside of McCaffrey, whoever's open. Like, I don't think that's a knock on Ayuk. I just think that's how they play football.
TJ, who's Rosado on the Patriots offer?
It may have been a little more than 32. Now, you got a team willing to pay you that much, and you're not even asking that much from your own team. Like, come on, man. At this point, it's like, I'm sure the Niners are pissed. They're ready for it to be over. And I'm sure BA is pissed and ready for it to be over. Just come back together and find something that works. Like 28. You wouldn't give him $28 million a year, but you'd give him $26 over the course of 3 years. That's $6 million. Like, in the world of football and a grant, that's nothing. And so, yeah, I know you have Trent Williams to worry about and Brock Purdy next year. But if Brandon Ayuk is not on the Niners, they're still going to be a very good team. I don't believe they're in an NFC championship game.
So that's where we're at. Ayuk's just asking for $28 million. According to TJ, who's Rosado. So now we got a number. He's asking for 28. The Niners don't want to go above 26. We're really going to just divorce. We're just going to divorce ourselves in this relationship and just move on. It takes two. But
you know,
over a couple million dollars stretched out over 3 years. We can't find a structure and manufacture a way to make everybody happy. Over $2 million. $2 million for a second team all pro. We're just going to give away a second team all-pro for a couple draft picks?
Okay, but from a business standpoint, and again, I'm not pretending to be the Niners, but from a business standpoint, if you give in on every $2 million request all across the roster, then the next – because, like, hey, it's $2 million for
BA,
then it's $7 million for Trent, and then it's $40 million for Brock.
But not everybody has the same leverage. And Bosa stuck him up for another $20
million. No question.
It wasn't $2 million. It was $20 million. So nobody's talking about that one.
No, but
you know what I'm saying?
What my point was is the happy medium then. If they're $2 million apart is, well, let's meet in the middle at the $1 million difference.
27.
Yeah, you Can know, like that seems I'm reasonable.
Sure, 27 and a half.
That do seems that. Reasonable.
Or just stretch it out over 3 years. The cap is going up. The cap is going up over the next 3 years. We can't make this happen. But we're going to quibble over a couple million dollars to not get the second team all pro. Brock Purdy's number one target in the pass game. Are we kidding?
Well,
like, but, make this happen, man.
Well, no, I want it to happen too. But like, sometimes these teams are, and I'm not trying to defend the teams, but like, for example, Trent Williams, they gave him like a 6-year, $140 million contract where they front loaded a ton of the money. And now we're in the middle, not even the back end, because it's a 6-year deal. You're in year four right now. There's 4, 5, 6 years on the deal. And he's like, oh, got to restructure the entire freaking thing. So, like.
But I don't think B.A. is going to do that. Debo hasn't done that.
Who knows?
You know, they may go to Brandon Ayuk. You could say, we want you to restructure your deal, and he may do it.
Well, that's plausible.
You know what I'm saying? He's probably not going to stick him up. And by the way, there's going to be other players who are coming off the books. We don't know what's going to happen to Deebo Samuel in the future. Hell, I don't even know if Trent Williams is playing after this season. What's going to happen to George Kittle? We know. Speaking of George Kittle, we joined Tim Kawakami.
Well, one second before we get into this,
shout outs, by the way, 13 minutes.
Before you finish, everyone's going to say, huh, you got to have Trent Williams, and you got to have, and I hear what everyone's saying. I'm going to be real with you. Like, I actually think in the modern NFL, and I know the offense did not look good without Trent, and Purdy's going to be under duress, and you got to have an offensive line. I think it's a lot closer than people want to admit. Because like everybody's like, it's a slam dunk. Trent's more valuable than Brandon Ayuk. Okay. Like, I agree. Left tackle is more valuable. This age, 36-year-old Trent Williams versus 26-year-old Brandon Ayuk, I actually think it's a hell of a lot closer than people want to admit in terms of who's more important, not just for now, but also moving forward. So if one alienates the other and you can't afford them, like, I actually think this is a much more difficult conversation. Right. If it's what, and I don't think it is as simple as one or the other. Right. I'm just saying, like, everyone's like, it's a slam dunk. You pay Trent. Left tackle's more important. Like, okay, but if Trent was like 31, this would be a no-brainer.
Right.
To your point, he's 36 years old. Flirting with this.
He's been flirting with retirement. He's been flirting with going to other teams. And he came off that piss poor Super Bowl. And I like Big Trent. But come on, man.
We're all focused.
And then now watching, and that's what kind of bothers me with some of the fans. We traded for Trent Williams. He's not, you know, I don't know if he's an all-time Niner yet. I don't know that. Brandon Ayuk has the potential to be, and he's homegrown. You spent the first-round pick on him. When we look at these draft classes, you look at 2022, right? For example, the 2022 draft class for the 49ers. Drake Jackson, out for the season. He's on PUP. Sucks for him. Ty Davis Price, off the roster. Danny Gray, one career catch. Spencer Burford,
wow.
About to lose his job to Dominic Puny. Sammy Womack, haven't heard from him since 2022.
He made a play on the practice field.
So, there you go. So, we finally hit on a first-round pick outside of Nick Bosa, and we're flirting with danger. Now, here's George Kittle on how he's kind of dealing with the whole contract situation with Brandon Ayuk. He sat down with Tim Kawakami on the TK podcast.
Really, for Brandon, it's just I want what's best for him. And, you know, if he requests a trade, you know, I hope that he gets to go somewhere that's best for him. And I have no bad blood with Brandon. It's always a really – and each, like, contract negotiation is so different and so unique. Like, I think everybody in the world knew what Bosa was going to do. Like, it was going to be a holdout until they paid him exactly what he wanted. And, like, that just is what it is because that's what his brother did. And, like, I just think every contract negotiation is just so unique. And so, like – and I don't know any details about Brandon's either besides just trying to remind him that contract negotiations are like braces and they suck the entire time. And when you get them off, you have a nice pretty smile, but millions of dollars in your bank account. So it's just like whatever's best for him. And I try my best to not ask questions about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
About that stuff, because I don't want to lie to you guys. I actually have no idea what's going on. And but again, it's just like I'm going to focus on what I can control, and I wish the best for everybody.
So George Kittle on how he's dealt with Ayuk's absence.
All I know is that currently, right now, we have a really good roster, and I'm just going to try to attack it every single day with the really good roster that I have. And because if you think about the future and stuff like that, like I remember being told in like 2021 that if we don't win it this year, the window's closed. And we've been in three NFC championship games since then. So the window hasn't closed. John and Kyle and Jed have done a great job about figuring out a way to whatever metaphorical window, keep that open. And we do a good job with that.
So that's George Kittle yesterday. Now I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the text. I say, well, if you trade for the Steelers, the draft conversation is to go get Devontae Adams. I don't even know where that's coming from. We just assume that Devontae Adams is going to get traded from the Raiders, and we assume that he's going to be a 49er. I don't know. Again, have we learned anything from the Warriors offseason? It takes two teams to tangle, all right? We may want something, but what do they want? You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to stop with this stuff. We have a second-team all-pro wide receiver in our building. We're quibbling over a couple million dollars. Now I'm getting annoyed. And now it's probably likely that Brandon Ayuk is not traveling with the team to Tennessee.
If you had to prioritize, if I forced you to prioritize one or the other, Trent or Brandon Ayuk?
Brandon Ayuk. And I'll tell you why.
So you're kind of with me then.
No, it's a little different in the sense that I want to take care of my young wide receiver. I know he's going to be here, and I need a weapon for Brock Purdy, a trusted agent for Brock Purdy. You look at all the great Super Bowl winners. They always got to target Mahomes and Kelsey. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Brady and Edelman. Brady and Gronk. You know, Montana to Rice. Mm-hmm. Montana to Clark. You just look all across the league and the history of the league. Bradshaw to Lynn Swan. Bradshaw to John Stallworth. You know, Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson. All these guys have a guy that you can count on when you throw the ball up. Brock Purdy trusts Brandon Ayuk on crucial third downs. You want to nitpick about numbers and this and that? Not you, I'm saying, but anybody out there. Crucial third down touchdown plays. Thanksgiving night against Seattle. I could go all down the list where Ayuk, the Green Bay drive. Detroit, third down after he makes the miracle catch. And then on third down, boom, quick slant touchdown on third down from the 7-yard line. We want to get rid of our trusted agent, so I'm taking care of Ayuk first. And I'm telling Big Trent, I know what Trent's going to do. He's not for with the way he operates, Trent Williams, about his money, he ain't leaving $23 million on the table. He'll just show up the week of the first game because he ain't going to sell out his teammates. He may not be happy, but he'll come back for week one. I truly will call Trent Williams bluff and say, you're really not going to play this year for us? After us, we traded for you to bring you out of Washington, an absolute dumpster fire with Dan Snyder. We revived your entire career. You've never had more fun playing football. So I would call Trent Williams bluff. You want to stay away from camp? Fine, stay away from camp. I'll see you week one against the New York Jets. But I'm taking care of Brandon Ayuk because I don't believe for one second Trent Williams is going to miss a game check.
No, I don't either. And the irony, too, though, if it did go down that far, I actually think you can get more for Trent Williams in a trade.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing that.
No, I'm not going to, but I'm just saying I think you could. If we're asking just straight up value, I think you can get an automatic first round yesterday from a variety of teams.
Yeah, probably not going to do that now.
No, you're not going to. I hear what you're saying. I admit, like, I want Trent.
5-1-0
but they already paid him. They gave him a ton of money, guaranteed, up front, and now a couple years. And he's acting like he's not going to see the 20. Just say what you want. Like, no, it's not about guaranteed money. Trent wants $8 million. That's what he wants.
Listen to this. 5-1-0, City Mobile Text Line. Another good point. Ryan Tannehill was never the same out of A.J. Brown. And I don't think Ryan Tannehill's that good, but he lost A.J. Brown, and he was done.
Come on.
He was done. Ask Tennessee. And that's where Ross Tucker, he lost me with, you know, just trade him. You can find a bunch of Brandon Ayuk in the draft. Well, Tennessee drafted Burks in the first round from Arkansas.
Traylon Burks. Yeah, I might be mispronouncing.
Hasn't worked out well yet.
No.
For 2 years, he's been a bust.
No.
So it's not that easy finding replacements for all-pro wide receivers.
Well, just because Minnesota moved Diggs and got Justin Jefferson, that's like hitting the Holy Grail.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, how many teams do that? You trade one all-pro, and you get a Hall of Famer.
Well, the Niners tried to trade. Was DeForest Buckner all-pro with the Niders?
Yeah.
Well, they tried to trade.
Yeah, and they got a
and they got Ken Law, and he's on the New York Jets.
Yeah, he can't even play. I'm with you. It's just I'm exhausted by everybody with their hand out at the collection plate, just basically saying that they're broke, and I'm tired of hearing it. Trent, you made $180 million. Isn't this about getting that one thing that's elusive in your entire career, the Super Bowl ring? Like, well, like, honest, and this is the thing, like, oh, well, the money. Dog, the only thing missing from your resume is a championship. And you're making it more difficult to win that championship. You're going to be compensated through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, to me, you want to talk about the GR word, as in greedy. This is as, like, high greed as it gets. Yeah. I'm just being real, dude. Like, come on, dude. Like, when's enough enough? You need $8 million.
I'm not going to go there. But he is under contract. And he's gotten multiple contracts.
Guaranteed money.
No, he does have guaranteed money.
He's getting the $20 million.
But the difference is, Ayuk's trying to cash in. This may be the only time Ayuk can cash in and get a big-time mega deal. Trent's already had a couple. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not sitting here pocket watching, but they made you the highest paid player after you threatened everybody saying, yeah, I'm going to go visit Mahomes in Kansas City.
I'm banning the word, the phrase pocket watching, because literally what Trent is doing is he's like, Penei Sewell and Tristan Wirfs got money. Yeah, I need to be paid higher. That is the definition of pocket watching.
No, it's just I got to get mine. I got it. No, it's not even pocket watching. It's just, oh, I'm happy for those guys. I'm happy they're making 28, but I need to be known as the highest paid left tackle in football. It's really weird. Cam Bibbitt told us last week, right?
You were named that for the last 5 years.
He said it last week, right, Lubman? He was like, this guy stuck us for another $10,000 per year just to be above David Bakhtiari to say, I'm the highest paid left tackle in football.
There's a pettiness to it in what he's doing. Exactly. Yeah,
well, you know what? I'll be petty then. How about you don't false start on the most crucial drive of the entire game, of the entire season, of the entire Kyle Shanahan regime? How about you don't hold? How about instead of getting front-runned and you know, dancing, coming out, the second you have a tiny little injury on the team, you're throwing swings on the Eagles, you're looking like a punk. That's what it looked like to me. And I'm telling you, we all like Trent. He's a great player, but there's a front-running aspect to him at times that honestly bugs me. It legitimately bugs me.
So, I mean, look, you really want to lose Brandon Ayuk over $2 million, $1 million or $2 million. That you could stretch out and you could restructure this deal. You could structure it in a way that it doesn't kill the cap. And I get that Lenore is going to be around and Travis Ward want new money and Aaron Banks. There's going to be other guys who come off the books. We're really going to lose Brandon Ayuk when you have a chance to build off an offense that averaged 29 points. Like what we saw last year with the 49ers, we hadn't seen since the 94 team. They were as explosive, as deadly as that team that won a Super Bowl. And we're really gonna lose Brandon Ayuk. And I'm with TJ who's been shot. Jed York, where you at? Just don't let this happen. Don't let this happen, because you can already feel the vibes. You can already hear from the players. They're not distracted, but they know. They know if they lose Brandon Ayuk, boy, we're not as good as we were.
No.
We're not as good. Because we just don't know about Ricky Pearsall. We haven't been in the foxhole with him yet. We haven't been in the foxhole with Jacob Cowing. We think Juwan Jennings is good. But boy, Brandon Ayuk is good on every damn down. We could play him at every spot in the offense, every single play.
This is just frustrating. It's just really frustrating. You know, I don't even know. Like, it's just $2 million for Ayuk. He just needs two more million.
How about this?
On whatever. Then Trent needs just another 8 or 9. Just another 8 or 9.
Here's so much money talk. He says Shanahan needs Brandon Ayuk.
Kyle Shanahan is like, he's a headstrong person. He's a great coach, but he's a great coach that should probably have 2 Super Bowls also. Let's go back to Atlanta when you're calling the plays. You should have won that. You should have won this past season. Patrick Mahomes throw the ball. Get that ball to Christian McCaffrey. Game's over. You're a Super Bowl champ. And so, just like there's some missteps that B.A. may have taken, Kyle Shanahan has had missteps also in coaching in the biggest games of his career. And it doesn't get easier by getting rid of good players.
Now, Husbizada, I also acknowledge that Ayuk may regret leaving a situation.
I've been in this situation when I left Cincinnati. Now, we ain't talking about the type of money that he getting. I wasn't getting nowhere near that. But I was in, so let's clarify that. But I was in this situation, and I feel like it's better when you stay with your team. It is. They know you very well. You know them well. You go to a new team. Let's just say, for instance, you go to the Steelers. Who the quarterback? Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and then they have a young receiver in George Pickens that wants the ball and is going to get his target. Y'all have to navigate that. They already have a system with the Niners where C-Mac gets his touches, Kittle gets his touches, Debo gets his touches. It's just different. And so I just feel like when I left Cincinnati, I was just like, oh, man, I should have stayed. And I think B.A. may have that if he was to leave San Francisco.
I agree with him.
I do
100%.
Too.
The thing I don't agree with what he was saying is like we're still blaming Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator for the Super Bowl. You know what I want to start doing from now on? Marv Levy did not lose the 1991 Super Bowl. It was Bruce DeHaven, special teams coach. He's the reason why Scott Norwood went wide right. He's the reason. Bruce DeHaven lost that Super Bowl, not Marv Levy.
No, who's the D-line?
It's the most absurd thing I've ever
who's
heard.
Who's the D-line coach next year when he was mocking the Hogs to the Washington, Washington team? And he got fired shortly after the Super Bowl. Washington just cleaned their clocks in the Metrodome.
How
in
did
that
Dan
Super Bowl.
Quinn not get
That's
crushed.
What I'm saying.
It's that, the most, that is, like, look, we could argue, like, Shanahan lost, as the coach, lost two Super Bowls.
Yep.
But this thing that Dan Quinn is just fully exonerated for the Atlanta Super Bowl is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
A defensive coordinator, a defensive-minded coach who had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, and Shanahan gets to blame. Shanahan gets to blame. Again, I got the game log. I went over this one day. Nash Oliver was getting on my nerves with it one day. So BS&G, I wrote down during the show. Sorry, I wasn't listening to you guys that day. But I literally went through the game log, watched the game. Hell, I did a tutorial at my house. Last year, we were watching the Spence Crawford fight at Big Dog City House and went Philly Zoo, and I had the game on, and we went through every single play because I was adamant that how can you guys keep blaming Shanahan? Hell, in Cabo last year, during the All-Star break with Baby Chance swimming around the pool and ended this guy I met from Atlanta. Oh, I feel bad for you guys. You got Shanahan. I was like, why you feel bad for me? All he's going to do is blow another Super Bowl like he did for us. I said, you really believe he blew that Super Bowl for you guys? You are dumber than rocks, dude, if you believe that Shanahan blew that Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. It's like saying Marshawn Lynch shouldn't have got the ball at the one-yard line against the Patriots. No, he should have gotten the ball at the one-yard line against the New England Patriots.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because I was literally going to go to that. Who was the offensive coordinator? Was it Bevel? Was it Darrell Bevel?
Darrell Bevel. Darrell Bevel.
You know who I blamed? Pete Carroll!
Pete Carroll.
I blamed Pete Carroll, the head coach!
Right.
I blamed Pete Carroll.
A head coach in the D.C. with a 25-point lead, and we're blaming Shanahan for
that. I mean, like, imagine, like, 25 years from now, you know, Robert Saleh lost us that first Super Bowl against, the Chiefs. You know, it was Robert.
No, it's people. Steve Wilkes blew the Super Bowl last year. Even though the Chiefs had 19 points going into the overtime period.
It was 16-16. I just watched the receiver. Right. 16-16. Everyone's
19-19 going into overtime.
Yeah. It's just, I mean,
you know what?
Don't even start me, because honest to God, that Super Bowl loss, the Detroit game was its own thing. Dan Campbell not going for the field goal, then later on going. He was just all over the place. Dan Campbell just so foolish. I am never going to get over. I think that loss, as bad as the first one was to the Chiefs, and it's its own entity, we can argue till we're blue, losing that Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what?
I feel like the team still hasn't gotten over. Everyone's got their hands out. We're just in collection.
I'm blaming Greg Roman for losing the Super Bowl against the Ravens.
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
I'm blaming Vic Fangio for letting Flacco go crazy. Who's our special teams coordinator that year when they lost to the Ravens? And Jacoby Jones, rest in peace, had the kickoff return to open up the second
half. Bruce Miller was held on that play.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of holdings on that play. I mean, Jerome Boger.
Bruce Miller's been held a few times.
Jerome Boger, we don't need to go there. We don't need to talk about that. Jerome Boger was a lead official, and I remember leading up to that Ravens game, they said there was another referee who spoke. I was like, how did this crew get the assignment? They're the worst crew in football.
Shocking.
And I remember they were on the field. One of the guys pushed the referee, and then John Harbaugh was all on the field when they were going into a scrum. It was a disaster. But who's the special teams coordinator that year?
I'm looking.
Let's blame him. Let's blame him for that loss.
All right.
Sick, man.
Oh, our good friend Brad Seeley.
Let me
give you some
Brad Seeley.
I love Seeley matches.
Remember Jeep Crist?
Oh, I do. Quarterback coach. His son played at Palo Alto High School.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Jeep Crist.
It's a fake name.
Oh, man. Let's blame Steve Wilkes.
Who got the keys to my Jeep?
Let's blame Steve Wilkes. Unbelievable, man.
You know, I was thinking about it.
This whole situation just made me sick, man. Because I'm thinking about three wide sets with Pearsall and Deebo and Ayuk or Juwan Jennings and McCaffrey and Brock Purdy. And that's the thing. Brock Purdy's going into a contract here. How's he feel about losing his top target? He's throwing interceptions every damn day in practice. You don't think he'd love to have number 11 out there?
I'm going to be real with you. for the first time in a long time, quarterback isn't even a thought on my mind. I know what Brock Purdy's going to do. Like, he's going to be really good. Like, that's what Brock is, dude. Like, Brock's the rock, dude. He's ready to roll. I'm not worried about him at all. It's all the other dudes and all the other stuff that's going on around him. Like, he's the least of my worries. The absolute least of my worries.
I guess I should calm down. It's Chicago Jason on YouTube says, because Ayuk is still a Niner at this moment. Certainly don't sound like the players around him or the coaches are talking. Well, like, even Kyle Shanahan, they talk about it like he's already gone. And they've acknowledged the fact that, yeah, he's talking to other teams, and we just want what's best for BA.
Didn't CMC call, like, say, former teammate or something the other day?
Basically said former teammate.
So I guess the 49ers, this is per Diana Russini.
Yeah.
This morning, the 49ers are still in communications with the Browns and the Steelers. The Niners have yet to move off the initial $26 million offer. Ayuk wants to remain a 49er and even moved his family to San Francisco during the offseason.
Wow.
SF prefers a wide receiver or a premium player in return.
So now we're asking for the world. The Niners, the organization, misplayed their hands. And this is on Parag. And you know who could fix it? And you know whose Q rating could go up if he does fix it? It's Jed York. And Jed York, I don't even want to come down Jed York's rope because he stitched out plenty of guaranteed money to the team. Over $470 million he's given out to the team. So I got no issues with Jed York. But he can make this right and tell Parag, just chill, give him the extra $1.5 million. I'm trying to hang a damn banner. I'm trying to get number 6, for crying out loud. I'm trying to get number 6. Our best way to get number 6 is if I get Brandon Ayuk in the camp and get him on that field and let's go. Come on, man. He moved his whole family out here. He doesn't want to go nowhere.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
We're talking $6 to $8 million over a 3-year span. That's it. We're quibbling over nickel and dimes. Come on, man. Let's go. I'm tired of talking about this nonsense. Oh my God.
But okay, again.
And we sure, Brock Purdy's gonna be this elite without his weapon? Are we ready to trust Ricky Pearsall? He can't even stay on the field.
No, I'm not ready to trust Ricky Pearsall. I'm ready to trust Brock. Brock's really good. But Brock
is good.
Every quarterback in the league needs weapons. This is not Brock exclusive.
Right.
This is football. What do you do? All right, I get my quarterback. All right, I want to have a good defense. And what else do I want to do? I want to protect him, but, you know, I really want to load him up with weapons, right? Every team in the league, literally every team in the league, like, that's what you want to do. That's team building 101, all right? You got to get him his weapons. And yes, you got to give Trent his $8 million so that he's happy and he can say that I'm the highest paid left tackle. It's just.
We got to get this done because we need to get ready for the New York Jets. We have to get ready for the New York Jets and Sauce Gardner and Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. We got things to get done, man. The Super Bowl or bust. And it's been like that here, whether you like it or not, for the last 5 years. And we got to get it.
If we did a GoFundMe from Niner fans for the $1.5 million difference, the $2 million difference, do you think people would not, they'd say, nope, they're greedy, or they would contribute to the GoFundMe?
Oh, I think these fans would contribute to the GoFundMe. Fans are crazy. They would throw $100, $200.
I mean, technically, that's what we're already doing when we buy gear and stuff, but you get what I'm going with this.
People donate money to us in the Super Chat, so I'm pretty sure they would donate to keeping Brandon Ayuk here.
We got to get rolling, man. We got a preseason game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these guys. Is Ricky Pearsall even going to play tomorrow?
So
is Jacob Cowan even going to play tomorrow? I know Drake Jackson's out for the season. I haven't seen him since Pittsburgh.
I'm not optimistic.
You and I were standing there talking, and I said, hey, when are you going to be ready? And he kind of gave me that look.
He's like, I'll be right.
We didn't go into detail, but I got the feeling it wasn't going to be.
Well, he gave us a D Ford. I got to get right first. And he sat on the cart, and he's not right. He's out for the season. Unbelievable.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Yeah, I don't think we need that. Whatever Shasky just said. I heard what he just said. We don't need that. We don't need that.
Just let that evaporate.
I want to get ready for football, man. I'm tired of talking about holdouts, hold-ins. Guys, chilling in East Texas, man. It's just like, what are we doing? We're the second year in a row. And everybody's coming down Bosa's road now, which is funny. Well, if Bosa didn't take all that money, yeah, he's, from what I heard, he stuck the Niners for another $20
million. I love how Kittle just flippantly said, like, well, you know, it's what the Bosa's do. They hold out. And
they
I'm just like, hold out.
This is the Bosa's. They just hold out. How Charger fans feeling about Joey Bosa?
I don't know.
How many games has he played in the last 3 years?
Ow!
All right. Drake Jackson, former second-round pick, still recovering from off-season surgery to his patellar tendon, and yesterday was placed on the reserve physically unable to perform list. This was a move Jackson and Niners were anticipating happening ever since he was ruled out of training camp last month. Damn. Poor guy. Injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson. Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm helping you. Injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Our main man, Jake Hutchinson, will join us at 95-70 game insider. He'll recap practice from Wednesday. We'll ask him about Brandon Ayuk, whether or not he's traveling. I believe the Niners are staying on the East Coast, too, because they're going to scrimmage, I believe, with the Saints. I could be wrong. We'll ask Jake
Dennis
about that.
Allen?
We'll talk to Jake about that coming up
here on the other side.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Get back-to-school faves at Whole Foods Market. Save on lunchbox winners like organic black, red, and green seedless grapes and organic Honeycrisp apples through August 13th. While supplies last, shop in-store or online. Terms apply.
All right, Joe Shasky here. You guys got to check out Jack's Restaurant and Bar. There's owners, and they happen to be three brothers, John, Chris, and David. And they learned the restaurant business from their mother, Eleni. And she had a saying, it's simple. Make great food. Be nice. And they created Jack's Restaurant and Bar with that saying in mind. And Jack's Restaurant and Bar is an all-day, any-day kind of a place that my family loves to go to. And it serves great food with a neighborhood atmosphere. We like to go to the one in San Bruno. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and drinks. It's a family-run business with a focus on genuine old-school hospitality. And that's why we love it. Drop by for a light beer for lunch, or a light bite for lunch, excuse me, a nice dinner, or a quick burger after the movie. Jack's Restaurant and Bar has locations in Pleasant Hill, San Bruno, San Mateo, and Newark. And check out the newest location for Jack's in San Jose at the Westgate Shopping Center. Two patios, a huge bar, delicious food, great cocktails, 16 beers like Joe Montana on tap. Make it the perfect place to watch a game. I also heard...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.